lights out, we're underway. It's Motorsport Republica podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Motorsport Republica podcast, the last MotoGP race of the season. James, we've had a hell of a year.
Bro, it's been one hell of a year, but it was kind of sad.
It was, yeah. 22 races, longest season in MotoGP 500's history. Yep. And yeah, it's God, there's some bloody storylines and some talking points throughout the year, but we'll cover most of those in our end of season show. But tonight is all about Valencia.
Yeah, we will. I'm looking forward to doing that end of season show though.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good.
Fun. Valencia, bro, it was huge.
Dude, Bez, I mean, I just can't believe where we've come from the start of the year, where he was at, where Aprilia was at in the doldrums down sort of probably that Le Mans sort of stage of the year. And, you know, we were there in Thailand and he's finishing 17th, 18th and, you know, just up the back thinking, geez, Martin, they spent all this money and then just flicked a switch, didn't he?
And with that, he was he said if he wins three races this year, he'll get his RSGP. Valencia, won his third race of his bet with Massimo Ravola, and he gets to take it home. That's why he proposed to the bike.
Yeah, it was. That was awesome at the end. I remember going back to, we'll talk about Silverstone where he won, and thinking, oh God, that was such an out there, you know, victory, and you know that could be the only victory of this year. And he's really, really, really dominated that sort of last flyaway series. I suppose should have won Australia, and then, you know, hasn't really dropped a lap in the last two rounds. I mean,
yeah, he's definitely been the fastest since basically like Mandalika almost.
And then Raul Fernandez, Brent sits out last weekend, shoulder's gone, and puts it second. How good is that Aprilia?
How you were so close to putting him in the top five until you read that article.
Well, the article said he's just going to come out, he's going to go through the paces, and then, you know, we spoke to Raul and Philip Ball, and he said Valencia was his favorite track. His younger brother won Moto3, so they must have done some huge laps around there as kids. And you know, it just shows. I mean, how much talent he had stored up somewhere. You know, for the last few years he's done nothing, and then he's won a race and another podium, and obviously not fully fit either. But again, it just shows you how good this Aprilia is, and how exciting that is for 2026. Can he, James? Can he even think about,
don't even say it,
can he think about competing with Marc Marquez next season? That is going to be the big question.
That's a huge question. I'm going to shut it down and say no. There's a lot of talks as well, you know, poor Bagnaia, but Bezzecchi fighting it and taking it to Marc Marquez next year. He's going to be the man that's really going to take it to him. So,
yes,
you know, Rossi's little disciples, Marco Bezzecchi, as well, they even look the same. So it's going to be, as you said, there's so many storylines. There's so many questions for next year already. We've got the Tuesday test coming up, Toprak's coming in. Number 7, he's running. Diego Moreira is running number 11.
Yes.
So it's exciting, man.
It is. Guys, we wouldn't be here without Motor Heaven either. So jump on board there. Best in the business, parts and accessories, motorcycle wise. And YouTube.
Get around YouTube.
Please subscribe if you can. It helps us a lot. We've got so much stuff coming on the off season. As we all know, as we touched on at the start of the episode, MotoGP is finished. We'll continue with F1 to the end of the year, but we have got such cool stuff coming in the off season. We've got, you know, Rossi versus Marquez show end of season. We've got a
Christmas
couple of special guests coming on. We've got, you know, our Christmas special, as you touched on. There's loads of stuff all through December, all through January. If you need your MotoGP fix, you know where to go. Motorsport Republica.
Yeah, 100%. Hit up our Patreon. Thank you for everyone that subscribes to our Patreon as well.
You get extra stuff. Yep. So we're going to have even more stuff on Patreon as well. So that supports us as well, guys. And we can bring more and more stuff, go to more races, et cetera, et cetera.
Do our Patreon extra chats.
Yes, we will be doing that, James. Yes.
We love it.
Yes, we do.
But it does, as you said, it helps support us, makes us grow, and makes a podcast grow. We can give you more better content.
We can add a couple extra helmets and, a couple extra shirts. Yeah. And, you know, well, there are people that they really want. Well, we couldn't give a fuck.
We keep getting messages about shirts, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just going to run through results quickly. If you didn't finish or didn't watch it, it was on late last night. Bezzecchi first, as we touched on. Raul Fernandez second. Unbelievable ride. Digio finally gets his podium a couple of years after he got taken off him in third. Pedro Acosta, disappointing fourth, I'm going to say. James, we'll run through that shortly.
Yeah.
Aldeguer fifth. Alex Marquez sixth. Just sort of fell away, didn't he?
Yeah.
Luca Marini seventh. Brad Binder eighth. Jack Miller, 9th, had a good weekend. And then Bastianini, late race pace as always, in 10th place. So, yeah. Oliveira, 11th.
Farewell.
In his last race as well. So,
We got to talk about this one first. But, bro, what the fuck was with Franco Morbidelli?
Yeah, where do you start? Where do you start? Crazy Frank. Does it again. And only him. Only him could happen to
only
him.
Only him, he would do that. And of course, he has to hit Aleix Espargaró, which they hate each other. Like, they absolutely hate each other, which is just hilarious. But, bro, I don't know what he was thinking that whole time.
Yeah. The only thing I can say, it's obviously this front ride height device. They have to lock it in, and Aleix left it to the last second, but it's in his pit stop.
That's okay. Leaving it to the last second when you're in the pit, or in your grid spot, is perfectly fine.
I'm trying to find excuses for him, James. There's none there.
There's none there. Fractures his hand and then misses the test.
And it's so important. He's going to be jumping on that 25 bike. He's always going to be. He's going to be behind for the rest of the year, fighting for his career as well.
Yeah,
fighting. Not only to keep himself in MotoGP, just fighting himself not to go to World Superbikes, you know, just simple as that.
It's amazing that he fractured his hand off that incident, but obviously it was a big shunt or...
Yeah, I mean, a bike could have fallen on it as well, I suppose, awkwardly, maybe a brake lever or something. And, I mean, it doesn't take a lot, does it? I mean, these guys fall off at 300 k's an hour sometimes and they're fine, but it's just an unusual sort of awkward fall can do some damage. So.
It was, bro, the most spooky thing ever. I was literally talking about... grids, like bikes going to the grid, and we're watching the races, the sprint race the night before or something with my missus, and she's like, has anyone gone forward and missed the grid spot or crashed lining up to the grid? And I said, no, like people miss grid spots, but no one's crashed going into the grid. And she's like, that's weird. You'd think they would. And then we're watching it the next night, and then fucking Franco Morbidelli crashes.
We're like, ah!
I was yelling, I saw some yellow bike on the ground, and I was like, so exciting. And I was like, you put a fucking jinx on them or something. Yeah. Like, you manifested that.
Yeah, because it was so unusual because the camera panned to him and the bike was facing that way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he hasn't just, like, he's like he's flipped it over or something. But yeah, and then obviously we saw Aleix Espargaró and then sort of hit the whole shot reverse and rev the shit out of it. And then something came off the bike. It must have been some debris in the exhaust.
Yeah, I know. Wow.
Hollywood, you know. Bloody box office stuff at the start of that race. So, but yeah, only one Frankie Morbidelli. And it's just a joke now because he goes back into the pit lane, you know, two laps after he had to go back in. And he shows his hand to the camera. I just thought a strange thing to do.
Very strange. And they held those bikes on the grid for a long time to get him off. I'm surprised they didn't do another siding lap.
Keep the
heat and tires.
Yeah, true. FIM.
But anyway, so yeah.
How's the whole shot device? There was three or four issues with it throughout the weekend. I don't know if you knew this, but Zarco's rear ride height was locked in. I think in the first few corners, obviously Bezzecchi in the sprint race and. Yeah,
Quartararo. His was locked in on the front, and then Zarco saw it. That's why he tried to pass him, and then he took out bags.
Yeah, we'll jump onto that shortly. But
bro, what's going on? Like, well, we all knew bags wasn't going to have a result because he was nowhere all weekend. And like when he was 20th in whatever in FP1, we knew that was it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as I said to you last week, we touched on this. It was. He's either there and he's practice one, and if he's not there, he's nowhere.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that. And I think it was probably a little bit of a godsend him going into that gravel trap at the first lap because there's an excuse for him.
Yeah,
well, I mean, five in a row, James. First time, you know, since his Moto3 career, he's DNF five in a row. Just a crazy stat on Bezzecchi. Yeah. While we're at it, he's all five of his race wins have been with Bagnaia crashes. I know. So
isn't that wild?
What a spooky sort of stat that is. But yeah, four from grace and. Can he come back? That's going to be the big question for 26. Can he come back mentally? Physically, he's fine, obviously. Mm. But for me, it's a long, long road back. And I don't see it. I don't see him. I can't see him back at the front again.
Well, he said there's no point, like, even testing on Tuesday. Ducati doesn't really have anything new. They can't bring too much new stuff. So he's like, he even said, you're not going to find a solution.
Good for Marquez.
Great for Marquez.
So that is so who's testing the Ducati? Is Bulla gonna be there and filling in Marquez's spot?
I assume it would be Pirro.
I thought Pirro was DUND. I thought he was done.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure.
Anyway, we'll soon find out.
It might be Pirro and then it might be Bulliger and then Bagnaia is leading the charge, but I don't think it's a crucial test for like the like. I'm sure they still want to try a few things, but like it's going to be a lot more crucial for Yamaha and Honda, and even Aprilia's got a new parts to try as well. So
yeah, let's talk about Honda now. They took each other out the sprint, Mir into Marini.
Yeah,
which is pretty wild to me to see that, and for Mir to go for some bloody half a Banzai move into that inviting second corner, as you always call it.
Mm.
But mate, I need to talk to you about these concessions because it's a really awkward conversation, because obviously one of them had to finish seventh.
Yeah.
They go to that next from, you know, rank D to rank C, but they lose a lot of benefits for next year.
Yeah.
For what, you know?
I know, I thought that, and Marini stayed in seventh, and I was watching Marini the whole time because I was like, I wonder if he's just going to accidentally run wide or something like that.
I was waiting for it.
And never happened. But I saw Marini roll back into the pits and everyone was so excited they moved up a concession slot.
Yeah, I mean, proud Japanese, I suppose you can call it. Yeah. But I've got the stats though as well, James. So they go from 260 test tyres.
Yeah.
That's how they rank them, 260 tyres they can use, down to 220. Instead of free testing any rider, it's now just test riders during the season. So there's no, you know, Mir or Marini can't jump on a test bike,
yeah,
which is probably good for them. They don't have to travel to the track to do testing. Instead of any circuit to test, they're now limited to three tracks. So that's only three tracks throughout the year. Obviously, engine specs now frozen until they also only get one aero update.
Mm.
And they're only allowed now six wildcards per season, which we talk about that. Remember that they're limited on wildcards. Yeah. We wonder why sometimes they run but one bike, sometimes they run two bikes, is because they're limited. So, yeah, it's a time will tell. It's such a crucial part in testing for next year, because obviously they're going to be testing 27 things as well with the new engine regs and aero regs. So, for me, roll out of the throttle, finish eighth. What difference does it make? I mean, seriously.
Maybe there's a monetary thing with, I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't. It's just being proud,
bro. A little money left over from Repsol in the bank they get or something.
Yeah, there's got to be something there. Like, but they all seem so happy to go into like concession C. So obviously there's benefits for it. There has to be just benefits for it. And I guess it's maybe more mental, if anything, Tom, where like, okay, now we're not in the last concessions D with, let's just say, Yamaha, where it's C.
Yeah.
It's just a bit better mentally for them to move forward. Like, you're going to have to move forward eventually. Why put it off?
True. Just such a, I don't know, but just such a crucial time next year, transitioning into the new season. I mean, new rules, I should say. So, I mean, it's just a bit of an elephant in the room. Should they just have sandbagged?
But maybe if it is, and look, I could be so wrong here, but do those concessions only count for 2026 bikes, and then there's a whole different testing concession thing for 2027? Because I assume that's what it would be.
You might be right.
That makes the most sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, you might be right.
I think, because I don't think Yamaha can have unlimited testing on a 2027 850cc bike, and Ducati can't.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Yeah, it's true.
So there must be something there with that.
So yeah, a couple of disappointments for me. Alex Marquez sort of really washed away in the end, didn't he? Finishing sixth. Aldeguer got him in the end.
Yep. So Alex Marquez struggled all weekend with rear vibrations to the rear of the bike, and had just obviously no rear grip, and that's why he fell away so hard at the end, and even got pipped by Aldeguer in the last corner, last lap.
Yeah.
So, you know, how would you think of his silver livery?
I didn't mind it. I just don't know why you celebrate second place.
Mm.
You know,
Willie Nels put in a hot take, said it was a bit of a low T move. Yes. Asking if it's a low T move.
Yeah, Willie Nels on it again, because I feel like, I mean, it's just like, you know, no one remembers if you finish second in the world championship. I'm telling you right now.
If anyone's going to remember this second, though, it's going to be this one.
It was good to see them up on the stage with mum and dad. And that photo would be in there. You know, that's going to be in the boardroom somewhere. Yeah,
bit awkward for divorced parents.
Yeah, a little bit, but you know, it's nice to come together for La Familia and stuff.
Yeah,
it's good. It's a good thing to see, because I know obviously I ended in a horrible way by the sounds of it. Jimmy, we always talk about the OG fans on this podcast, but what about the OG sponsors?
Mate, the OG sponsor, motoheaven.com.au T-Shabs. They've been with us from the start. The absolute start. How good's that?
They're amazing. Amazing organization.
They are the best. All orders go in the draw to win $250 gift card every month, T-Shabs. So you can spend anything at motoheaven.com.au and you automatically go in the draw to win a $250 gift card every single month.
Amazing. There's no excuses there.
Nope. It's Australia's largest range online. And we challenge the fans to use the website. The usability of the website is the absolute best. Even you and I can find the tools or the helmets or whatever we need for our motorcycle.
Guys, they have the best parts finder in the business. And it's also free shipping over
$150.
Awesome.
Head to motoheaven.com.au. They are the OG sponsors for our OG fans.
Well, that'll be the Rossi versus Marquez special event we've got coming up.
The mum's actually secretly team Rossi.
Imagine. But yeah, for me, it's of course the Marquez brothers. It will go down. But I mean, that's what I said to you last week about Bagnaia. You know, does he really care about third place in the championship? Maybe monetary value. That got knocked down by a few people in the comments saying they don't ride for money. They ride for pride and stuff, but I think I disagree, and that's something we've learned a lot in doing this, is money is still
just
a big thing. It's still a big motivating factor in life, not just in bikes, but everyone, human, you know.
Yeah.
It's money. Money talks. So there's a reason why Quartararo is on a Yamaha, you know.
Bro, 100%. Mm. Do you think, though, that it was one of the most dull ends to a season ever?
Yeah, it was always going to be dull without Marquez and without a championship fight. And then obviously all three championships were pretty much sewn up, weren't they?
I know, it was just very much anti-climax. Like, it was just another race.
Yep.
It just lost a little bit of that edge.
Do you honestly think that Valencia is a good season finisher?
That's my next question for you, Tom. Valencia's grown on me. Actually, I think I really like it. I think I like it for the last race. I wouldn't know what else to put there. And I like how if you're a fan at that track, you get to watch the last race and you get to see the whole circuit.
Hmm.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that. It's grown on me. I just find it so tight and twisty for a last, you know, a last round of the season. You have to put your ass on the line to pass anyone. And you saw that with, for example, Jack Miller in the sprint race.
Yeah.
For me, he had to go for a banzai move to get past. Yeah, he knocked him over, but three place drop. If we didn't have aero, that wouldn't have been anything.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't knock the aero and then the aero didn't go flying, it would have been like, oh, tough pass, but keep going.
Yeah.
But because we've got this aero goes off, everyone goes, oh my God, he's hit him. And
that's a good point.
There's parts going everywhere, and then they feel obligated. They have to give a penalty.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same with last week as well, with Aldeguer and...
Yeah.
And Binder, same situation. I mean, yeah, as soon as the aero starts flying, everyone fucking freaks out. So,
bro, great point.
Yeah. But for me, yeah, it's a tough circuit. There's a reason why they go there. Is obviously the test, obviously the weather. It's so cold in Europe at that time where they need to find the hottest spot there, and obviously it's pretty close to. And then, yeah, I mean, it's got that award night. It's there's a lot of things that go into it, I suppose. So.
There's a lot, but I don't mind it. And I think it's great for the fans who travel there from around Europe to see the whole track. I think that's understated.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because you can, and you can see all the action and
for the last race.
And they fill the stands out, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, they do. It's not like it's half empty at most.
And the other thing is, it's the last race of the season, and the championship's done, but everyone was still there. Obviously, they missed out on last year. But the thing is, Barcelona, that wasn't anything flash, was it, for last year? So
yeah, no, exactly right. And like, we've had a different end of the season, so... I still like it as Valencia. I think it's just worth it for now. I can't. What else is going to replace it, really?
Yeah, no, and you're right. I mean, unless some big oil company or oil rich country come along and go, come to my racetrack, which is every chance that could happen, and they want to be the season finisher, which has happened to Formula One.
You know? It'll happen to MotoGP.
Obviously, Yas Marina, and obviously the weather's good, so they can test after the race and stuff like that as well.
Yep.
So that's definitely on the cards, I think, over the next 10 to 20 years, or probably even sooner than that with Liberty Media coming in.
Bro, couldn't agree more. Aprilia box Jorge Martin, 10 minutes left in free practice, so he doesn't do heater laps.
Mm.
And then he does a half a race because he's injured, doesn't want to crash, doesn't want to be in the pack. Super sore, weak. Like he's saying, he was weak and sore. What do you make of that?
First of all, interesting. I saw him run wide in the first corner of the race, and I thought that was strategic because I thought he just ran wide, got out of the way of everyone, and sort of then potted around the back.
And he had a double long lap.
He had to do the double long lap to get rid of it because he would have carried that on to next year,
yeah,
possibly. I didn't when it first happened and he was waving at the crowd, I didn't sit that well with me, but I kind of understand it now reflecting on it. The test is just so important for him. And if he went into that test and he was so sore that he couldn't feel anything on the bike with his hands and his legs or whatever, again, we're not experts to know this. I think the test is so much more important than him finishing those last, you know, 10 laps.
I actually agree. I don't want to agree with what you just said, but I was like, didn't sit well with me either. But I think the test is so important for him, so important for Aprilia, that he just, you can't, why risk it? And like, look, they're races and, you know, he's obviously prone to doing some dumb moves and it's just not worth having him in the middle of the pack. Like you saw Zarco almost take everyone out like and took Buddy Bagnaia out. So like, it's just not worth it for him. It's not the best look after everything that's happened in a way. And then you've got Bezecchi winning, but you know, if you're just getting data and testing times and you're super weak and you're super sore. Yeah. Then,
and as the team's core by looks of things, they're clapping him in. Mm. You know, it wasn't like, oh my God, you're coming in. It was, you know, clap in. But I think he's just got to close the chapter on 2025 and just move on mentally. He's just got to just go, that's it. It's done. It's, you know, erase it off the chalkboard and start again on Tuesday and just start the test strong and have a really good off season, get really fit, healthy, mentally strong again, and then just come back all guns blazing for 26. Because I see him winning races next year. I really do. Especially with this Aprilia, man. Like, they've obviously just got everything down pat with obviously the aero is obviously a big thing for them. You know, they were the ones really started it back in the day and then they seem like they've really nailed it now.
They're Ducati,
yes. But for me, it's like, it's really exciting. And yeah, we spoke about the start of the pod with, you know, can Bez compete with Marquez? Dude, I just don't think, I'm really be surprised if Ducati come out with something interesting. They seem like they're in, I don't know.
Stagnant.
Like, they're not coming with anything new in the test tomorrow night. Like, Marquez is obviously,
there'll be a few new point parts, but nothing.
But yeah, I just feel like they're plateaued and Aprilia just on this rise. Raul Fernandez with a sore shoulder, bro, is one, like, finishing second. I mean, it tells you everything.
I know, it does tell you everything. Like, we've already spoken about it, but like, it would be the downfall of Ducati if it wasn't for Marc Marquez. Yeah. And, you know, next year, I still think it's going to be much of the same. But, you know, if it wasn't for Marc Marquez, like, Aprilia would be there just, you know, reaping the rewards. I don't see, again, I'm sticking by this. I'm going to say a crystal ball moment right now is that halfway through next year, someone's signing for Jorge Martin's seat and Jorge Martin's looking for a ride.
Wow. So Aprilia going to do it Jorge Martin or what Jorge Martin did on Aprilia?
Yeah.
Halfway through the season, you know?
Yeah, well, his contract's up next year.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I just think the whole situation doesn't sit well with anyone, really. And I get you can water under the bridge. And if he's winning races, and maybe it's different, but if he's not winning races, you know, they're backing Marco Bezecchi.
If Pecco Bagnaia was a stock at the end of, like, 2023-24 season, it was up here.
Yeah.
$180 a stock. It's halved.
Yeah.
It's all probably even quartered, you know? If he has a year and he wants to move in 2027 to a different team, he's getting, and I know it doesn't go back to money, I know, but he's getting half. He's getting quarter of what he's going to get paid. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's going to be him chasing rides, not vice versa, you know? That's going to be the massive difference. Does Aprilia, do they want to go hunting for Bagnaia when they have a world champion who beat him on the same bike in 24? Like, do they really want to hunt for him?
They're going to hunt for Fabio Quartararo. Mm, he's the signature to get.
Yeah.
And he's halfway out the door, man. Like, V4, obviously, the Yamaha's come out and said V4 is confirmed for 2026. Jack Miller says what he wants for Christmas is some more horsepower. So, hopefully, he gets that. But, you know, if Yamaha doesn't sort their shit out, even by the Sepang test, and they're not fast in the first couple of rounds, I think Quartararo is signing for Aprilia and they'll get him for a lot cheaper than probably what they're paying Martin because he just wants to win now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I think he's cashed in. I think just on Miller as well, bro, he's had a really good few weeks. Yeah. I know on the stats they don't see it, but he's been top or close to the top, you know, a Yamaha for the last few weekends. I mean, yep. He's finished in the top 10 again. He hasn't had those massive drop-offs like he has had.
Top Yamaha last round.
Yeah, so for me, it's sort of gone a little bit unnoticed, but he's had a really, really, really strong, I'm going to say, 3 months.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And it bodes well for him going into next year, because I'm probably one of the... I'm not like a harsher critic, and I'm thinking, like, I don't really realize why he's going to be there next year, and now I get it. Like, yeah. You know, developer of the bike, the new engine, V4, he's ridden it before. You got Toprak coming in. You need a solid rider for that second seat because you got a world superbike world champion. But, you know, you look where Bulliger was over the weekend. He didn't do much. So
yeah, he's 15th, bro. Yeah. Like, he's had no testing. He's jumped straight on the bike, basically. He's had 1 week, a couple of days of testing in Aragon. Like, what do you expect to do? But
it's going to take a long time to get up to speed with these bikes. It might be halfway through the year before Toprak really finds his feet. But he could be a freak of nature. You don't know. He just could be one of these guys. Could be an Aigura coming in Thailand and finishing fifth. I mean, how wild that is. When you look back at that, that's probably one of the wildest things for me this season was him finishing fifth.
He had a good round, Aigura, besides DNFing. And he was quick in practice and qualifying.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't a Aprilia track. And I really felt like he was going to do better. Really, Q2 cost him because he was 12th, and it's always hard to start because if you're 12th, you're in the middle of the bloody ocean pretty much.
It's a shit show.
You're in no man's land in there. So
there's all winglets everywhere.
Yeah, oh yeah. God, yeah. And you got bloody Zarco, the most cumble sort of soft man in the paddock, and he's bloody driving, pole driving people up the inside. I mean, that's how bloody vicious it is, isn't it?
You're right. Acosta, I think he is impressive on what he's doing on that KDM. I think the KDM is a dog. And you just look at all the other results, man. He's only 4.7 seconds off the lead. And, bro, like, the next best KDM is Binder, and he's 14.5 seconds off the lead.
Yeah, 3 KDMs in the top 10, though, Jim. Come on. Can't be all buddy bike.
Yeah.
You're like me with... you're just finding too many excuses again. You're like me with Frankie Morbidelli.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, that KTM is not, like, it is a dog of a motorcycle.
Ah, it's not that bad. That's not that bad. 3 KTMs in the top 10. More Yamaha. More than Honda.
Yeah, but bro, you got Oliveira 11th. You got Zarco, who punted bags into the moon, 12th.
Long lap as well. Me
had like 8 long laps and crashed 3 times. Then you got Rins, who's 14th, his leg. And then Bulliger 15th. And then you got test riders. It's not like there's many people behind him. And then look at all the DNFs. Bags, Morbidelli, Aigura, Martin, Vinales, Cordararo, Aleix Espargaró.
What happened to Vinales? Did he retire, did he?
Yeah, bung shoulder, mate. Done.
It's the motorcycle struggles with, and they were saying today, it's rear, it's drive grip, it's, you know, it's obviously corner grip as well. I mean, obviously just rips its rear tighter bits, and it's something they have to really work on, but I think there's still light for them. Like, I know it's CF Moto apparently going to be
What's this CF Moto? What's the go there?
Yeah, it makes sense for me. Like, the Chinese market is going to be fucking huge.
Well, they're like 20% KDM anyway, aren't they? I'm pretty sure that's what CF Moto.
What would be perfect is they run 4 bikes, 2 KDMs, 2 CF Motos. That would be a perfect scenario. But it doesn't sound like it's going to be that. It's going to be all CF Moto.
Yeah. And, like, look, they're only in Moto 2 and Moto 3, so... and they've got, like, road bikes to sell.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, KDM, for me, I look at KDM as a brand. Now, I'm on the outer skirts of you know, motorcycle industry, I'm going to say. I'm not like Curtis, who eats his dinner off his Ducati and stuff. But he's shaking his head. But for me, like, I see KDM as a dirt bike brand. Like, I just don't see them as a road bike brand. And, like, yeah, if you have a Super Duke or if you have... one of those little things, whatever.
390 Duke.
I just think that's... I mean, well, I would buy one of them. No. I would buy one of them. Buy a real bike, you know? They're dirt bikes. It's a dirt bike brand, man.
It is a dirt bike brand. But it will be interesting to see what comes out of that because it's building a lot of momentum, that rumor.
KDM aren't in MotoGP just to sell road bikes. They're in MotoGP as a brand to sell dirt bikes as well, I'm going to say.
But aren't they... Is KDM building a sports bike?
Mike. They've built one already.
Wasn't there one coming out?
990 RCR, yeah. That one?
No, yeah. Not the track bike, like a road bike.
Yeah, that is a road bike.
Oh, like to be registered?
Yeah.
Is that out?
It's been announced. It was like announced a week before Eichmer, I believe.
Guys, I'm telling you, we've done this podcast for 2.5 years. We've been fucking talking about this bike for 2.5 years. It's never coming out. I'm telling you right now.
No, I think the other one thing to talk about is a different bike, mate.
What is it? Just
like
a shit
show.
You have
the 8C, which was the dedicated track bike, which sold in under 30 minutes.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
80 grand bike. This one's like a 20 to 25 grand.
But that's coming. That's coming out.
That's coming out next year.
Next year. So, there's your MotoGP bikes. That's what they're tailored towards.
It would cost how many million dollars to be a MotoGP every year? Mm. They're not going to sell enough bikes to sustain that. No wonder they're going under, bloody Curtis over there. No wonder they're going under. It's ridiculous.
Well, they've already got a new backer now, which is Bajaj. So,
what did you call me? Sounds like a friend you have with butter chicken.
New, not me, mate.
What's the goal?
Is that a rice dish, Curtis?
And I believe they're still at their factory in Austria as well, but they've probably cut some people.
They're building everything in fucking in China and
half
India
the KDM's
now.
All built there. What's the goal of CF Moto? Are they 20% KDM? Is that what that is?
I don't know where they are now.
Okay,
I need to check because I know Bajaj bought most of the shares to take ownership. So I'm guessing CF Moto's still got the same amount of shares
as
what they had previously, which they've got their new V4 out now, I think.
Well, it was like some prototype thing, wasn't it?
No, that's...
Oh, it's like coming out.
It's made. It's coming out next year as well. Electronic wings, all the jazz. The engineers at Ducati were looking at it.
The main CEO of Ducati was impressed with it. Mm. So, it does make sense of CF Moto going into MotoGP. It's weird as having a Chinese brand there, but that is the future, isn't it?
Oh, dude, when you look at Chinese cars, especially in this country, it's flipped in a year.
It has.
People have gone, oh my God, I wouldn't go near a Chinese car to like them having Chinese utes in their driveway and shit now. It's crazy. So, it's going to change. 100% it will. And... China build everything else. They make fucking everything that we're talking on right now or recording on or our phones. Everything's made in China. Mm. So you got it. There's a billion of those bloody people over there. That's why they need to go to Shanghai. That's money to be printed over there.
They got MotoGP fans over there though?
Oh, I reckon. They have to just... I mean, the problem with China is I think a lot of it stuff is censored, isn't it? So,
well, I obviously go through the analytics of this podcast. And this podcast has listened to a lot of countries around the world. China is not one of them.
No. But are they allowed to listen to us? They can't be on... There's no YouTube in China.
Yeah, but there's probably obviously no Spotify or Apple
Music. Maybe we should
either.
Upload to like RedTube or something as well so they get it. Is that the Chinese one?
Yeah, I need to find out the Chinese... it'll be like some anime logo tube.
I was curious.
Curtis, what is the Chinese YouTube / Spotify and everything so we can upload to China? Curtis doesn't know. Curtis on the mic. Hang on.
Oh.
Does this stuff stream into China as well, our podcast?
Well, I don't think YouTube and all that exists in China.
Ah, okay. Winnie the Pooh. There you go.
The fuck are you talking about?
Oh, he's muted. Back on track. Sorry, we got a furry eye there for a second. Just shout out to Jeremy Moran as well from Patreon. And this wasn't a hot take, but just a message or a comment. Pecco and Martin qualifying 16th and 17th on the grid at the last race of 2025 was not on my bingo card list.
Great message.
Because, I mean, that you got to, like, 8 months ago,
yeah,
we're sitting there going, it's going to be Marquez probably winning a championship. You know, it's going to be Bagnaia second. And then I think Martin, I probably had him in my top five at least. Mm. And then, they just had, you know, not equally as bad seasons because Pecco probably did performed a little bit better, but geez, not that much better in some of those races. So.
Bro, I know. That is just, it's amazing how quickly motorsport can turn around, isn't it?
Yeah.
The fortunes of people, and good or bad, like Jorge Martin wins the world title, then just obliterates his body for the rest of the year. Bagnaia is just nowhere, can't find, get to terms with the Ducati. But then you look at the turnaround of like, Alex Marquez and how much that's turned around his clear second in the championship. Marco Bezzecchi, the same one, with Aprilio. Who would have thought he turned that around right in front of our eyes? So, like, you know, it can either go either way. It can be really good or really bad. You know, Honda's getting better, as I always like to touch on. But
bro, just what you were just saying, like, I'm just, my mind's like racing. I'm like, Bezzecchi third in the championship?
Wild.
Like,
what was that pain at the start of the year?
watching him in practice and in testing at the start of the year and in the first few Grand Prix, third in the championship. When you got Martin, you got Bagnaia. We thought the VR46 boys were going to be up there.
Bro, there was more chance of you getting lucky with Sydney Sweeney than Marco Bezzecchi getting third in that championship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fuck. True. Jeez. Now my mind's really racing.
And his eyes light up.
Getting hot.
Big tartars.
And just a shout out, as this is why MotoGP is going to be so exciting for next year, is you have a tenth of a second in the top five of qualifying. You know, a tenth of the second splits the top five. I mean, that in motor racing terms is incredible. And, you know, what, three or four different manufacturers possibly. I don't have the in front of me. But yeah, I mean, that's the most exciting thing. I mean, you've got James's KDM, like they could perform really well next year. Aprilia obviously up there. I think realistically, we'll look at Ducati. Can Alex Marquez really improve on that bike on the new obviously the factory spec bike? That's going to be a big question. But tune in for our January pre-year show for all those tips and tricks, eh?
Definitely. Back on KDM, out of anyone who needs a big off-season and testing, it's KDM. Mm. They need a bike where it's rideable with everyone, because obviously it's a Costa and he wants a whole lot more. He's overriding that bike. Like, yes, Yamaha needs it. Yamaha needs a big off-season, but KDM, I think, is just as much, because they're in no man's land. They are the ultimate in no man's land.
I think the Yamaha is sort of the ship that sailed, hasn't it? Like, there's just no hope anymore for them.
Like, it's just like they got the V4, they're kind of trying it, but like KDM has got such good riders. Acosta's close, but he's overriding that bike, and they are pretty close, but there's still a gap there, and they need a massive off season. They need to make substantial leaps to get those riders consistently getting podiums and fighting for race wins, because Pedro Acosta is a race winner, and it's, you know, who knows if they're going to be a light blue CF Moto soon, but you know, I really think like the pressure is on them.
Yeah.
You know, the pressure was off them at the start of the year when we all thought they were going under. But now whatever's happening, like, and they are improving, but they need to, they need to pull their finger out for next year. I'm harsh on them.
Yeah, you are. And it was so funny listening to Hervé Poncial in practice one. He was on commentary. And it was actually in practice two, the qualifying practice, I call it. And he's in there trying to commentate, but he's watching Bastianini. He's like, he's got three gray sectors in a row. What's he doing out there? It's unacceptable.
He goes, I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know what he's doing. And it just did nothing. Like, and it was interesting looking at it, because I'm like, he was 19th or 18th and just doing fucking nothing. Like, gray sector, I'm like, oh, he's going to go around for another, like, gray sector. Like, crazy. Like,
I don't understand.
I don't understand what he's doing out there. It's deplorable. Because you got, you know, obviously Vinales on with one arm by the sounds of things. And he's you know, they finished 18th and 19th or 17th and 18th in qualifying. I mean, it's just unacceptable from Bastianini. It's just his whole career. He just can't qualify the bike.
Yeah.
You know, yes, he's got the late race pace, but You know, if you got half a race left in your 12th, you know where. Like,
you're not winning championships.
No, of course no. God no. No. So yeah, that's gonna be a big thing for him to improve next year, because he has the talent, like he's got the capability, but
and the KDM has to improve that though.
Yeah.
It goes both ways. If you always say it's now 70% bike.
Yeah.
Then KDM's gonna improve.
But yeah, Bastianini for me, one of the biggest disappointments of the year.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah. I pay that. Mark Marquez watching Bags and Bulliger, a bit harsh on Bulliger, both in Q1 from pit wall, and then Bags has the mechanical, and like he's watching him, you know, just riding nowhere for the last race of the year. Is there a little bit thing in his mind thinking, fuck yeah?
I think, well, would it be for you? Would it be for you?
Like, would I be thinking
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
1,000,000%
there's your answer.
Yeah, you might whisper it to Gemma in bed or something like that. He would never say it in the media, but he's thinking, this is my team. I'm the only one that can ride this bike. I'm the
and
big dog.
Anyone on that in the paddock riding those bikes, they have to be ultra competitive to do so. And yeah, that's the competitive nature.
He's not feeling bad for him.
But how hard is it? Because like, it's such an individual sport, but you know, obviously the team has so much to do with it, you know, and they're all fighting for their lives, and you know, it's crazy. It's a crazy sport. It really is. Motorsport's just, you know, what's why we love it, you know?
Yeah.
It's why we love it.
We do love it. And it's, yeah, it's, and just, yeah, he's getting the keys to the BMW and the man hasn't even raced the last five rounds.
Yeah.
Like, it's just wild. It's wild how much that team has turned, you know? Bro, he's going back on the rail, Fernandez. We like slightly touched on it, but like, bro, take a bow, seriously. Like, to put the pressure on Bez to catch him, obviously couldn't pass him, to take second if that hurt shoulder, and like what he's done in the last few rounds has been incredible.
Yeah, no, he's again, surprise of the year for me. I mean, he's just a guy that's been in the paddock for 3 or 4 years, and we're wondering why they signed this guy. Why? They must have seen something. They must see something in the data, and obviously they stuck with him, and he's performed really well. He's filled a gap where they really needed it, you know? I mean, obviously, Bez filled the ultimate gap, but he's up there with him in the last three rounds, which is awesome. So, yeah. Obviously not last week, but yeah, for coming back and, you know, said to us that it was his favorite truck on the calendar, which we were gasping at.
Yeah, we couldn't believe it.
Mid-pod, we were too scared to question it. But,
no way.
But yeah, obviously loved it. He's, as I said, his brother won, so they must have done a lot of laps down there when they were kids, so.
Yeah, incredible. And just being shout out to Moto Racing Gear, the Instagram profile. You might have seen me messaging him
I did, yes.
A little bit. So Dine Easy is basically offloading most of their riders. I'll see if I can quickly get it up for you.
It's just an Alpine Star City at the moment, isn't it?
It's Alpine Star City, but what's like? I'll just show you the names they're getting rid of. So they're getting rid of Miller, Fernandez, Digia, Nicolo Carraro, Tony Arbolino, and Toprak, which Toprak's going to get poached to Alpine Stars, which is a big money. But this is all just rumored, so it's not obviously set in stone. But Dine Easy's like, I think apparently they've lost about 120 million euro last year.
Oh, so in the KDM style?
Yeah.
Not billions, though, which is probably thankful for
Yeah,
them.
Yeah. Which, I don't know all the ins and outs of the details, but... You know, like they're offloading a fuckload of riders, obviously, because they're just spending too much money or whatever. It's just interesting. It's just a small little tidbit.
Well, we've had a little bit of a taste of Don Easy's business motto, didn't we, in Live on Street, which wasn't probably the best, but
yeah.
Interesting worldwide what they want to do. And I think you need the top guys in your gear to be a success. I mean, you have to.
Well, I think, and I was speaking about this today, Don Easy laid all their eggs in Valentino Rossi for too long. Where like that was the man, like he was the man, which is awesome. But you had to find like your next star. Where Alpine Stars just litters everyone, you know, in their gear. If you look at obviously motocross massively, but you know, you look at Moto 3, Moto 2, Moto GP.
Still pretty young in the Moto GP paddock as well. Alpine Stars, like, were they, how long have they been?
Nah, they've been around for a long time.
Oh, they have.
Yeah, okay.
Head to toe.
Not head to toe because they only just released the the helmet, but what this is Italians for you. So there was Dine Easy that made leathers, there was Alpine Stars that made boots, and there was, I believe it was Spitty that made gloves. Now, three Italian companies all had a handshake agreement to then work together that they would only make leathers, gloves, and boots. And then, you know, Dine Easy or whoever like made suits, and then it all just turned to shit, and it all just fell apart. So that's like a little bit of the history of it. I believe it's all something along those lines.
Yeah.
Can't trust them, but
no. Well, it's in business. You get greedy, don't you?
Yeah. Mike Curtis. What are we doing?
I think it was Dine Easy purchasing TCX, which was they were making boots.
Yeah, but the TCX, this is like, I'm talking 80s.
Yeah, no, that's on 80s.
Yeah, so TCX used to be, this is how autistic I am,
yeah,
a brand called Oxstar. Now, Oxstar was a big brand, but they got sued by Alpine Stars because it sounded like Alpine Stars it looked like an Alpine Stars logo. Oxstar was actually selling quite well, had riders in MotoGP until they got sued by Alps, and then they had to change their name to TCX, and now they don't sell anything.
Yeah.
So I just taught you something, Cody, about motorcycle apparel. And thanks to Superbike Shaw, he told me that story.
And Alpine Star, when did they come into MotoGP with their leathers?
Oh, bro, I'm gonna assume like 90s or early 2000s. something along those lines. Definitely early 2000s, maybe the late 90s. I could be, or maybe the early 90s, late 80s. I don't know. I don't know with Alps. I'm not too sure.
Alps, yeah. What a brand.
Well, Rossi used to run Don Easy Leathers and Alpine Stars boots, which is like fucking unheard of.
Really. Who's Alpine Star have signed someone for $1 million?
Diego Moreira.
Is that who it is?
Yeah. From Revit.
Because the rumor was it was Top Rack and then it sort of got squashed. So,
but I think Top Rack's still going to Alps by the sounds of it.
Interesting.
For big money. So, look at us talking.
Jesus, I know.
Talking that. T-Shavs, I'm rolling around in a bit of a stinky car at the moment. How can you help me?
Doesn't surprise me, mate. Doesn't surprise me. James, I have the product for you, my friend. We have Motorsport Republica air fresheners. All your favorite drivers and riders.
Phil Marquez, Rossi, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri.
All the famous ones we have. We've also got t-shirts in stock. So if you want to go run in your Motorsport Republica t-shirt, James, you're more than welcome to.
Can I sink beers in it?
You can do anything you want with it.
Ah, yeah, I like that.
So jump on to motorsportrepublica.com.au. And guys, it supports us. It supports the pod. And we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Did you see the rear tire temp graphic? And did you like it?
I didn't mind it. We had a lot of negative comments, but I thought like I was waiting. This is how autistic I am. I'm sure you were the same. It finally got to the last corner, and it was like, oh, this is where the high temp is. I was so excited for it to go orange, and then they cut the image, and I'm like, James is exactly the same as me.
I was. I didn't see it go like orange or purple.
Yeah, because I was really like, hot. Oh, who cares? Like, it's just these quick left and right hand. It's like, it's not going to get hot. I'm like, oh, here we go. Last corner, like turn 12 and fill a mile. Like,
I wanted to think was turn 12 fill a mile. I was going to see it just go purple.
How do they get that data, though? It's incredible, isn't it?
You know, sometimes I just think they just make it up. They just put colors
AI,
in there.
AI sort of bullshit. Yeah.
They just put colors in there.
No, it's cool. I like it.
I liked it as well. I thought it was great.
Fake it till you make it if it is anyway. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, it's just if it's just like a made up thing to say how hot they should be getting, that's cool. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. But it looked like a graphic from about 2003.
Yeah, okay. that's Dorna, FIM.
Come on, people. What are
Liberty.
We doing?
No, not Liberty. But
what are we doing? It was very funny though. I was excited to tell you about that. That's basically all my MotoGP notes for you, big dog. Don't you think it's crazy that Rins is going to ride next year?
I got a factory team. That's the other crazy part. Like, he's not even gone demoted to the second or, you know.
World Superbikes.
Well, yeah. Okay, I'm going to bring Moto2 results up there, Jimmy boy.
It's just amazing that this man will never be prepared. Moto3. He likes filling the space in.
I do.
During the podcast.
Well, we've got the awkward like few seconds while we try to turn the mic on for Curtis all the time. So like people are used to it. All right. So first of all, massive congratulations, Diego Moreira, the first Brazilian world champion in the era, which is unbelievable. And well deserved. And we heard from Gavin Evert 5 rounds to go fill a bowl, and he goes, he's got all the momentum. I was like, nah, he's surely still got it. And had a 60-point lead at some point and just nearly won with a race to go, which is even more incredible.
Yeah.
First win for the Primac Blue Crew team, Izan Guevara. That wasn't on my bloody bingo card list this year, Jimmy boy.
Finally found form.
So he's done well. First, again, must be a Spaniard that just loves that track. I mean, it's just the home track advantage. I'm not sure if he's Valencian, but...
Ex-Moto3 world champion.
Yes. Danny Helgado, second. Ivan Ortola, third. Another crazy result. Colin Vaya, fourth. Philip Salach, fifth. Albert Arena, sixth. Jake Dixon, seventh, bowing out. Senna Agius, eighth. Celestino Vietti and Tony Arbolito in tenth.
Yes, Senna Agius had severe tyre degradation. That's why he obviously bowed out. But still good to get a top 10. But yes, Diego Moreira, well done. Congratulations to you. Obviously, richly deserved. Like he came charging home to then basically, you know, easily win a title in Valencia. I still would have been very nervous, but can't wait. I went on a bit of a rant on our last week's episode, so if you listen to that, I talk about what Diego Moreira is going to do, and I'm so excited for him.
Yeah.
What a storyline that's going to be. Great little celebration with all the 10s and the Brazilian soccer. I didn't get it, and then I obviously finally autistically got it, but I love seeing a South American in there, different Nasho, winning the title, and going up into... Hopefully a pretty good bike. It's going to be exciting. Good on him.
That's the big excitement because he's going into a team who hasn't had much success, and that second bike's never been a thing. You know, had the token token Japanese and Thai rider on there for the last few years. So
yeah, well, that's right. You know, they've always, but before that, they had like Crutchlow and
yeah,
Casey Stoner back in the D-Day.
Back in the D-Day. Yeah, super excited for him. A bit of a hard luck story with Manu. I think he would have believed that he had it sort of at least three quarters of the way through the season.
Pushed it.
Must have really had some issues with that.
Do you reckon he did?
Well, I mean, it tells me with Aegis's issues as well. They must have had something incorrectly set up for that rear tire wear because they both struggled with it. But fancy coming in and getting told we go back out again. That's embarrassing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, like, you know, you got to just finish it off and just
yeah.
ride around and just take your comeuppance. He's got second in the title. Still had a great season.
Yeah, he still had a really good season. And he posted up today. He's like, look, I'm so disappointed, but wow, second in the championship. You know, even 2 years ago, he was not even finishing on the podium. He was,
overs, bro.
Yeah,
overs.
Sixes and fifths. So
yeah.
Amazing year for him, and he'll come back hopefully stronger next year. His teammate Senna will be even stronger again, I think, than he has been this year. So that's going to be really exciting. How good's Moto2 going to be?
Like, oh, man, best. I'm loving Moto2. I'm finding it so exciting. Colin Vyer's quick. We spoke about him last week, but he got fourth again. Like, he's coming in with momentum into testing into next year. Hopefully, everyone stays nice and healthy over the off season. And like, Guevara and Holgado had an awesome battle right to the end as well. So Moto2 is really healthy, man. Yeah. And just, again, congratulations to Diego Moreira. We cannot wait to watch him on the Tuesday tests, and can't wait to see what he can do in MotoGP. It's very exciting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a name that really sort of jumps out at me on that page is Alonso Lopez. What has he? He's done absolutely nothing this year. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, yeah. For a second, I thought you said David Alonso. I'm like, you're on crack. But no, you're right.
No, he's just and I call this top 10 every week. We sit here and I can't remember the last time I called his name.
Bro, you know? That's a great call. Great.
So just
call.
Mid-pack after, you know, showing some real signs of talent, you know, even last year. So
I believe he's on the Bosque Oscuro chassis, which was the chassis that won last year. That's nowhere near, it seems to be as good as the KLXs this year. So that could be something. Just again.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, and then you got Guevara wins on the Bosque Oscuro. So it's always hard. It's always hard. I mean, probably just couldn't get his head around the same thing with Tony Arbolito. His excuse was the tires. But it just seems to be mentally, as soon as these guys get into this sort of mindset, and we're not inside their heads, of course. This is just making an assumption. But it seems like they're always on their back foot, you know?
Mm.
It's hopefully they come back next year. I mean, there's just so many stories over the years with these riders that, you know, have shown some talent. They just flickle away to the sunset, you know? So
yep.
Now you're gonna want me to get Moto3 results up now as
Can
well.
Can you get Moto3, please, mate?
Yep.
What was it, an 8 PM start this round? A little bit later.
Yes, it was. It was. Yes, you had to do the dishes.
what are you talking about?
Adrian Fernandez first. Alvaro Carpe second. Tyre Furusato third.
He's doing good.
Guido Pini fourth.
Amazing.
Maximo Quiles fifth. Angel Piquera, 6th. The usual suspects. Luca Linetta's 7th. David Almanza, 8th. Marco Morelli, 9th. And Jesus Rios in 10th. River Cold Snipers.
Yeah, our team. Yeah, good. I don't have too much to say about Moto3. It was all fucking done. It was good to see Rueda at the track as well. Obviously, he was at the presentation. You know, it's always a pretty... Obviously, it's always a good race in Moto3. Jolly Kelso crashed, unfortunately. Scott Ogden, our boy, crashed as well. MLAV with Morelli. Where did he finish? He was like top 10.
Morelli in 9th.
Yeah. He was like top 6 or something for the qualifying, or 5th or something. So, for the MLAV boys, that's a good result. So, and on a Honda. So, yeah.
Yeah, look, shout out to Jacob Rulston as well. Our boy, our OG boy, bowing out of Moto3 and unfortunately just can't find a ride for next year. Yeah, so we had a quick chat to him and Philip Island about it. And like, you know, we had this to say, like, he's got an opportunity to possibly race with a Moto2 style bike in the Spanish Championship or something. And I think that would be the best thing for him. Because the thing is with Moto3, to really go back and stay in that Moto3 category, and for his size, I think you just have to jump up. You got to perform well, like how Senna did, and then he may get a magic Moto2 ride somehow, you know, for 27. I think that's the only help, because you know, go, if you're in Moto3 and then you leave Moto3, it's very rare you come back and have success.
Yeah.
So you got all these young kids coming through. He's only going to get bigger and bigger.
Dennis Foggia, bro. Moto3, Moto2, back to Moto3, now has another ride.
Yeah.
He's fucked up.
Yeah, he hasn't done. And he had a couple of signs this year, but yeah, he hasn't been even top 10. So, but,
it's a hard sport, man.
It is. Scotty Ogden, yeah, did his shoulder, unfortunately. So he will be... They don't have a postseason test, obviously, do they? But he'll be sore for the next couple of months and hopefully start fresh for next year. Stay on that bike, that Green Power bike, which is great for him. So he's got real talent, man. He's got real talent. So that's exciting. It's exciting. MLAV next year, our boys. MLAV Racing with Joel Kelso and his teammate, which has changed. They've signed a different rider, so we'll... get over that. Oh, is Eddie O'Shea racing for MLAV?
Yeah,
because they announced someone and then they didn't. So who knows what happened there, but we'll find out.
Going to be Keeler's championship, I reckon, next year.
Put the money on it, Jimmy boy. Put the money on it.
All right, hot takes, big dog.
Yeah, talk to me.
Thank you for everyone sending them in. I reckon it was a record this week, especially after the last round in Valencia. So first one, Motor Heaven's Finest, at Adrian Letty. Why is bags lying in a kitty litter so satisfying? Harsh,
Adrian, wow, I didn't think he had that in him.
Yeah, he likes it for some reason. Adrian, he likes seeing the suffering.
I do as well. I love the suffering. But yeah, I just feel like sometimes with Bang Nye it's a bit of a show, but it's sad fall from grace, I'm gonna say. But yeah, we'll see. We touched on during the pod like what he can do if he bounces back next year. It'll be amazing.
New, yeah, exactly right. He's got redemption next year. Let's see what he can do. _D_Bernhardt_. Once again, Pecco crashes and then Bez wins. Is Bez the new top Italian rider?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about who's a new top Italian big dog, but it's...
But we called this, James.
He's at the end of the table
now. We called this.
The VR46 ride, he's at the end of the table.
But 100%.
Cutting the turkey.
We called this in Thailand. We saw Bez, just the aura around him. You know, it was like something that, you know, we haven't seen since the Rossi days for me. Like, you see him walk through the paddock and, like, you can see the smoke coming off him, you know?
Mm. Yeah. He's got the aura.
And he's just got a... Yes, he's got a little bit... Quite a sort of character than what Rossi was, but he can get a massive fan base behind him.
He's already got like fan pages and shit. It's weird.
Man, Bez hats everywhere, Philip Island. Like, yeah. That's a big telling sign, you know?
And it's because he doesn't, like, Bagnaia doesn't try, but Bez just doesn't give a fuck. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's like not the nice guy, but he's a nice guy.
But he doesn't complain. I think that's the big thing. There's a little bit of complaining from the bagmeister. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Our boy Special Ed, shout out. Mav leaving Aprilia, thoughts a year on. Does Fabio regret turning Aprilia down? Look, it's... I know Maverick Vinales basically wanting to leave Aprilia was a big call. Leaving like the best bike.
Strange unit, but yeah, very strange.
Was
unit.
He ever going to do anything like what Bezzecchi is doing? No. What Martin should be doing? No. Even though, like, you know, fuck, man. Like, Martin... Well, anyway, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole again.
But you know what's crazy about Vinales this year? He's just been so quiet. Like, we just haven't talked about him. I know he's been injured, but...
He's had a couple really good results.
Qatar comes to mind.
Yeah, really good result. I think Jerez, maybe.
Qatar, he got done for the tire pressure.
Yeah, but like, he was right there until he got injured. So, unfortunate as well for... He was the first person to do something on that KDM, and the KDM was atrocious. And does Fabio regret turning down Aprilia? Oh, I don't know. His bank account regrets it, to be honest. Maybe... You know, he wants to win now, so I think he'd be getting itchy to jump on an Aprilia or something that can take you to the promised lands, T-Shavs.
Surely can.
Special Ed, again, I had to write this one or read this one out. Mark needs to run the number one plate next year. Looks good for the sport, and why the fuck not?
What do you think about that? That's autistically a question for you, my friend.
Yeah. Yes. It's never going to happen. You'll only ever run a 93, which always annoys me when they don't run a number one. And like... Martin's ruined the number one for everyone because they're already scared of it. And now he's had the worst season ever. Yeah. Destroyed himself. No one's going to take the number one again.
Who's the last person to win with number one?
I'm going to say Mick Doohan.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
I'm going to say Mick
Doohan. So nothing in the MotoGP era.
So so Mick Doohan won, then Rossi won all his on the 46. Then Nicky Hayden won, ran the number one, went to the 800s, did nothing. Casey Stoner won, ran the number one, then didn't win. Valentino Rossi was just better. Then he won, Casey Stoner won again in 2011, ran the number one in 2012. Probably almost should have won a title, but then broke his ankles in Indianapolis. And Jorge Lorenzo in 2010 won the championship and ran it in 2011, the number one. And Casey Stoner beat him to that title.
Hmm.
And then it's been no one since, I believe.
And Lorenzo won.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm so wrong, bro. Bagnaia won.
Ah, goodness.
Didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He did. Of course, 2023. Yeah.
Yeah, because he won 2022, yes. Won 2023. Oh, my God. People would have been listening to that. People would have been listening to that. Just autistically getting it wrong all the way up until 2023.
I knew the whole time.
Fuck off, you did. He did. So he backed up the number one. That's the thing with Bagnaia. You just don't remember.
It's crazy. He has, you just, as soon as you have a bad season, all hell breaks loose in your head. You're like, oh, he's nowhere. Done. He never won anything.
I can't believe we both just missed that. That's fucked up. We won the number one for two years.
We never cut anything out, James. We don't cut things out.
No. That's funny. But like just going through, the listeners would have been like, this fucking idiot. Is he going to realize or not? But yeah, he ran the number one for a few years.
Well, 2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, but only won one, and then on the number, and then.
Look, at least he kind of saved the number one. I respect that. He had a shit, ugly number one.
Caught up on him, though. He ran it, he got lucky, and then caught up on him with 24.
And then, yeah, Martin ruined it. Now no one's ever going to run the one again, and Marquez won't. Mm. Anyway, that was a fucking long-winded answer for
that. What was the question before that? What were we talking about just before that one?
Mav leaving Aprilia, thoughts a year on, does Fabio regret turning Aprilia down?
Yeah, sorry.
Nikki D, 360. Is Alesha's past development to thank for how good the Aprilia is today?
100%. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, definitely. It's just shows you how many years it takes to get good in this sport. I mean, there's no overnight success, especially for a new manufacturer coming in. BMW thinking, oh my God, I want to come in for the new regs. It just doesn't happen overnight. Yeah. So if you're coming in 27, you're probably expecting a result in 33, you know?
Yep. Yeah, no, completely agree. Look at KTM, man. They've been in it for like fucking 10 years just about. So it takes a long time. It takes a lot of development. And Aleix Espargaró is a big catalyst into why Aprilia are doing so well. So you got to give him credit. Mm. Got to give him credit. Bay bikes. Aprilia is MotoGP's bike. So I'm saying that is the best bike on the grid and the bike that MotoGP is almost backing on the socials.
That's what I had for you.
Go on.
I am Fabio Quartararo in 2028, call it. Just hypothetical. I've got two contracts. Sorry, I'm Fabio Quartararo for next year.
The hyperfixation in your
2026. Right, I've got a Ducati contract. I've got a Aprilia contract. Everyone who has gone to Ducati, except for Marquez, is dominating on the bike. But Raul Fernandez is finishing second on an Aprilia, showing you how good that bike is. Which who are you taking? So you got to go be Marquez's teammate, okay?
Or I'm going factory Aprilia.
Or factory Aprilia.
With Bez. Same money?
Same money. He's riding for free.
Bro, I'm going the Aprilia.
Mm, so am I.
I'm going the Aprilia. I don't want to be Mark Marquez's teammate. And I think it's a better bike. I'm so close to saying that it's a better bike.
If we had this conversation 12 months ago, it wouldn't even be a question, would it? It's amazing what a year could change.
Ducati would be number one by far.
By far. You wouldn't even question it. You'd look at Curtis over there and then go, what an idiot. What's he even asking this question for?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's crazy. That's right. It's amazing.
It's a great point you make. I'd be way too scared to be Marquez's teammate. And obviously the Ducati is not where it is. And, you know, that's just, they're a victim of their own success with their development. So, but Aprilia, they've only just proved now what they can do in the second half of the season. So it's only been a tiny short period. And, bro, the only outlier in all this is Marc Marquez. It's actually so even without him. 50_87. Check this. Last five Sunday MotoGP races, Pecco and Mark both scored 0 points.
Yeah, one was writing, one wasn't though.
Yeah, I forgot that I even wrote that one up, and I was like, what am I reading right now? At Jim's Mowing Queensland's.
Hey, OG.
Take Pecco off fraud watch and put him on suicide watch, poor bloke.
Oh, jeez. Again, he needs to close the chapter of 25 and just start again. Start again with Martin. Him and Martin should go to a bloody concentration camp together or something. Just maybe not a concentration camp.
Well, they need to concentrate.
I meant like a retreat. So a nice one.
The man said a concentration camp. Cody's looking at it like you're
move
an
idiot. Move on.
Ben_Shoemaker. Toprak's next year will be extremely underwhelming as much as I'm rooting for him. I agree. I agree.
Yeah, no, you're on that. I think he'll surprise the second half of the season.
Yeah, we've spoken a lot about Toprak. At D. Bernhard again. How long into next season without any race wins do you put Acosta on fraud watch?
Oh, finally. Finally, someone's backing me up here. Love it.
How many races?
Oh, the bike's this, the bike's that.
The bike's fucked, mate.
Yeah, I'm halfway through the season, 100%. If he hasn't won a race halfway through the season, he's going on fraud watch.
Okay, what about this? I'm going to give you a scenario here. He's consistently top four, so second, third, and fourth. And the other three KTMs are consistently 12th to 18th.
And then he's not. That's fine. That's a good point. Because if you got Brad Binder finishing top fives and he's still not winning races, then that's fraud watch for me.
100%. Yep. I agree. Look at that. We just figured that out, bro. Willie Nels. Is Alex Marquez... Oh, no. I actually already read this one out. Alex Marquez celebrating P2 in the championship. Very low T. Mate, that's all we got.
Beautiful, Jimmy boy. Everyone who is and who wants to be a Patreonite, jump over to Extra Chats because we're going to record that now. So, I appreciate that.
Last one just for everyone. Willie Nels. I have to read this out because I just saw it. Yannone withdraws interest in the Bagger series after realizing it's not what he thought it would be. Good night, everybody.
That's a good one.